Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studios. Nice little promo there for Jets tickets right before we came back. That was entertaining. Get a Jets plane refrigerator magnet if you go to Jets Panthers this week. Yes, Boomer, you had something?
You know, I was living through one of the worst Jet offenses in history in 1995. No, I missed four games because I believe that there was a hit put out on me.
Yeah, yes.
We didn't have the social media vitriol to deal with. We just dealt with this radio station. We would deal with the writers, of course, the Mark Canizaros, the Rich Cimini's of the world. And it was tough. It was tough going to the grocery store. It was tough going to the movies. It was tough going out to dinner. Look, I know that Jet fans have been just absolutely over the last 2 years with the Aaron Rodgers deal and then the Rob Saleh firing and everything that has gone on over the last, I don't know how many years, from Zach Wilson to Sam Darnold and everybody in between, it's been ugly. I literally can't remember. I really can't remember the last time it has been this brutal and this intense. Now, Aaron Glenn lived through 0-11 with the Detroit Lions. He saw it up close and personal, what it looked like when they thought they would never, ever win a game.
Also here with the Jets when he was a player, same thing.
Yeah, but you know, Parcells came in and changed the way that the team did business. So he was a part of that. And that's why I tell you he's a part of the Parcells kind of tree. And he was probably highly recommended to Woody Johnson because of his Parcells ties, because of his Sean Payton ties, because of his Dan Campbell ties. So living through that 0-11, I remember watching some of that stuff. I mean, it was brutal for Detroit. And Detroit, you know, obviously had a woebegone franchise for the longest time. And, you know, even with Matthew Stafford there, while they were fun to watch, they weren't winning. And they trade Matthew Stafford, they bring in Jared Goff, and now they're one of the best teams in the league, last night notwithstanding. But I don't know if it ever got, like, this goofy with the Lions during that 0-11 start, like where people were questioning whether or not the head coach on the sideline knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a good guy to ask about that is your buddy Mike Valenti, you do the kickoff show with, if you could go back and remember if people were questioning if the job was right for Dan Campbell during that time, because he does sports talk out in Detroit. But I mean, this is not an over-the-top reaction. He looks that unprepared and that overwhelmed through these six games, that it's scary. Now, they have three, dare I say, at 0-6 being the worst team in the league, three games that they could actually win coming up in the next three games. They've got a home game against the Panthers, who just beat the brakes off the Cowboys, but still, they're still the Panthers. They've got a home game against the Panthers and that you can go get a Jets plane refrigerator magnet at. Then they go to Cincinnati. We know how the Bengals season is going so far. And then they host the Browns on November 9th. So if they end up losing all of those games and they're 0-9, then I don't think there's any way to salvage the season after that as far as Aaron Glenn's first season looking like a success. But if they get through this stretch winless, then I'm really going to start to think that we have a one and done on our hands. If this stuff continues, and I'm talking, you know, you said goofy, I'll co-sign with goofy, but if it's this clueless over the next couple of weeks and he doesn't seem like he's learning anything, then, and I, I mean, Steve Wilks, the defensive coordinator, the defense played okay for the first time yesterday. But Steve Wilks did that, the same exact thing happened with him.
In Arizona.
Yeah, he was a one-and-done guy.
But that's also Arizona. Well, I mean, Arizona, the Jets, I mean, it's
the same thing. Right.
But here's the other thing. So they're at home next week against the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers are now, I believe, 3-3. And they have actually turned into a reasonably good team. And they're running the ball.
Rico Dowdle.
Right, with Rico Dowdle really, really effectively. So they are now, Justin Fields is going to be mercifully booed next week if he gets off to a bad start. I've been there. I lived it. I know what it's like. I know what it feels like. And it's no fun. And Aaron Glenn has got to do something. Like, if he gets off to another bad start and they're not doing anything offensively, they're not generating any first downs, they're not moving the ball, I mean, they're going to have to do so. He has to do something in front of his home fans. So he better be thinking in the back of his head that if we get off to a bad start and we're not doing anything, I'm making that switch immediately. I mean, because he's got, I mean, if he wants to save his reputation, he's got to win a game here.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's even a question if, or not a question that he's going to start next week is crazy too, because you say he's going to get booed mercilessly. Oh, wow. He's going to get booed a lot.
Yes.
That's because Aaron Glenn's saying that he's not going to go to Tyrod Taylor. And it was a crazy question to ask if he was going to get benched. I mean, any other situation with any other coach after watching that, it would at least be a question on Monday if there was going to be a quarterback change. Now, maybe someone gets to him and goes, Aaron, we got to look at this, man. Like, maybe Tanner Engstrom's like, I'm sorry, but you know what we saw in week one, we're never going to see again from Justin Fields. We got to try something different if we want to save some face here. But it sounds like Justin Fields is going to start. Want to talk some Jets, 888-808-1019. What would be the amount of money, Al, in cash that you would accept to go to the Jets game? You got to show up by 11 a.m. and you got to stay the entire game. Panthers, Jets, and you have to wait to the triple zeros on the clock before you leave your seat. In cash, what is the minimum amount of money you would take?
I probably would take $2,500.
$2,500. Okay. I think that's fair. $2,500 to pay Al Dukes maybe, in cash.
It wouldn't be an automatic yes. I'd have to think about it. But
oh, well, I'm talking automatic yes. Minimum. I mean,
that is probably the number.
Okay. All right. We could probably get Boar's Head to come up with that. And you could have a tailgate party, the Al Dukes Boar's Head tailgate party.
I see. I'm telling you, but cash is different. You know, when you got to wait for it in the check, and then it's like, oh, man, I feel like I'm not.
Maybe we get the Winters Brothers to, you know, sign you up for an appearance at their tailgate, because you know they're going to be there.
I mean, I'm not looking to go to the Jet game. This is just a hypothetical.
Right, it's a hypothetical. Just to prove how ridiculous of a situation this is going to be for most people. And the Panthers don't have like a huge traveling fan base, so it's like,
oh,
not
really?
It's not going to be like this stadium is going to be filled with Panthers fans. You know,
I don't even know if the stadium is going to be filled with Jet fans.
It's going
to
look
ugly. And
if
the Jet fans are there, they are going to be ornery, to say the least. I lived it. I saw it. I know what it is. And I hope that it doesn't, for Aaron Glenn's sake and for Justin Fields' sake, my own personal feelings, I hope it doesn't turn into that. But by all indications, if they have an offensive performance even remotely close to what they did yesterday, if you want to call that a performance, they are going to get roasted. I mean, Jet fans on social media are livid. I mean, a lot of it's very funny stuff, but I mean, it is angry, it is ugly, and it is basically about as bad as I can remember.
What do you think the lowest price ticket on StubHub is to get into this game?
$17.50.
No, we're not there yet.
No, we're not there.
$61.
$61.
Okay. But, I mean, you could sit in the lower level.
So like, this is your chance to go to a very reasonably priced NFL football game.
Yeah, and you should wait till you get to like later in the week, because then people are going to get really desperate.
Buy them Sunday morning, day of game.
Yeah, but you can sit like right now, you could sit in the lower level in section 121, like row 11 for $100 a ticket, which normally would be, you know, insane to sit that close in an NFL game for $100 a ticket. So, yeah, I mean, if you you love bad football, now's your time.
You know what's amazing is that everyone that was watching that game yesterday, and I was watching with Sydney, even she's, what are they doing?
Yeah.
I said, I have no idea. I it looks like they're talking to each other on the headsets, but I don't know what they're saying to each other.
Well, say it again. The scary part is Aaron Glenn defended his decisions at the end of the first half and said that it were the right decisions. It didn't execute properly. Defended his decision at the end of the game where he had the yardage wrong with the how far the field goal was. And then also thought it was crazy to question Justin Fields getting benched. So everybody, including your daughter, is saying, what are they doing? And Aaron Glenn thinks he's doing the right thing.
You know, the amazing thing to me is that they decided to give Justin Fields $40 million with $30 million guaranteed. Why? Like, who are they negotiating against? What were they doing?
Like, that's a good question.
They could have had... Let me see. They could have had Mac Jones. I'm not saying he would have been the answer here. He certainly has played better for Kyle Shanahan out in San Francisco. I guess there's a few other guys they could have had. You know, I mean, they could have kept Aaron Rodgers too. But like I told you, when he went on Pat McAfee and he said he never got cut by a teenager before, referring to Brick Johnson, he was out.
So we just watched the worst performance of a Jets quarterback in the history of the organization. Week one, we saw Justin Fields play his best offensive game ever. How is that possible? Like, how do we get from that?
He's a human being. That's how it's possible.
No, but I'm saying we're talking about both ends of the spectrum where...
But his biggest problem, from my perspective, watching him over the years, has been inaccuracy and inconsistency. You know, there are games where he looks like he's really into it. And I don't know. I don't know why he locked up yesterday. He basically locked up.
Like me at the Ganzevoort?
Almost as bad as you at the Ganzevoort. And it was almost like his brain just went click.
Yeah.
And he was looking at the pass rush and looked like he had a deer in the headlights looking in his face. And that, it does happen. I mean, it happens to players all the time. It's just that the damn coach has got to recognize that.
Mike in West Long Branch. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I don't even want to talk about yesterday's game, to be honest. But the whole Aaron Glenn thing, and you're talking about he came from the Bill Parcells tree, and what it's like to be 0-11, and he was a player and they were bad. The one thing Parcells did is he brought older veteran winning players into the program to at least teach some of the younger guys, and the Jets never did that. Parcells brought in Pepper Johnson, Brian Cox. The list goes on.
Yeah, but Curtis Martin brought in Curtis Martin. He traded for Kevin Mawai. Yeah. I mean, he made some very, very shrewd moves at the time, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to spend a gazillion dollars, but bring some of the guys in from Detroit and teach the younger guys, teach some of these guys who are going to be here when you're going to be good. I mean,
if they were, I don't know. We don't know who was available from Detroit. The other thing, too, is they also brought in Vinny Testaverde. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I
do. But Vinny Testaverde wasn't a sought-after, surefire Hall of Famer or anything. I mean, they brought in guys that fit their system. The Jets never did that. I don't even understand what they're trying to do. I mean, they're trying to run the ball. That's not how you win in this league anymore. You got to be able to move the ball up and down the field.
Yeah, Mike, I agree with just about all of that. And, you know, Bill Parcells had major credibility when he got to the Jets. I mean, he had done it before in different places. You know, it's more like Parcells with the Giants that we're talking about. When he got there, you know, when he didn't have the jobs and the success prior to it, that would be a better comparison, because Aaron Glenn has Bill Parcells, when he got to the Jets, knew a formula that worked in multiple places, had won a couple of Super Bowls, took another franchise to a Super Bowl, but now you've got Aaron Glenn, who's completely in over his head, has zero experience as a head coach, has a rookie offensive coordinator, has one of the worst defensive coaches in football who can't stick in one place for more than 6 months. I mean, he's in a roster that all they know is losing. I mean, this was supposed to go another way.
You also have a unproven general manager. Somebody decided on Justin Fields, and I would think that he had a hand in that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
But we obviously talk Jets here. You mentioned a little bit before, BT, with the Justin Fields, Tyrod Taylor thing. I actually couldn't believe that some people were making a big deal about that yesterday on social media. I saw a little bit of it. that's what we've gotten to now, where it's, you've got to get to Tyrod Taylor! You've got to play Taylor! Okay, a career backup. For what purpose exactly? I mean, that made not once watching that game did I think about Tyrod Taylor, period. Now, here's Aaron Glenn explaining why, in fact, he did not go to Tyrod Taylor. Just talking about Justin Fields' game after watching the tape, I guess, this morning.
You know what? Here's what, you know, I thought about this a lot last night. I thought about the question that was asked. And when you look at what Justin did, the games that he played, listen, I didn't think he was bad at all. I actually thought he did some pretty good things in those four games. In this fifth game, he took a step back, you know, and I'm with you guys 100%. And we can't have that. You know, we have to get better than that. And he knows that. And he knows that better than anyone, you know. So I don't think you just try to bench a player after having one true bad game, because I thought the other games he played fairly well.
Yeah, now look, you're also going up against one of the best defenses in the NFL. Like, nobody's going to hide it. We all saw it. Justin Fields stunk yesterday. Mm-hmm. What makes you think Tyrod Taylor would have done any better?
Well, you don't know. I mean, but Tyrod Taylor's better throwing the football, and he always has been. Justin Fields is an athlete. There was nowhere to go. He was not running the ball. Nobody holds the ball more. Very inaccurate. It's just a little, and I appreciate Aaron's candor there. He's like, you know, I do. I think that that's part of the growth and part of the maturation. I think that he understands that he messed up. Or I want a little more consistency. Like, if you cut guys for muffing a kickoff, it's okay to bench a guy if he's not having a great day. And it doesn't mean that you keep him tied to the bench for the rest of the year. You know, hey, listen, otherwise, why do you have a backup quarterback? I mean, so like the backup quarterback is not just there in case the guy gets hurt. Historically, there's been situations in the NFL where the backup quarterback is also a spark.
Right.
Where things aren't moving and the chains aren't moving and the offense is stagnant. It doesn't mean you make the move to Tyrod Taylor for the rest of the year. Nobody wants to see that. But to try to salvage a game for the rest of the guys on the field, I wasn't really thinking about it in real time, to be fair.
Right.
But if he would have done it, I would have been like, all right, it makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if he would have done it, I would have been shocked. But what's more valuable, seeing what you have in Justin Fields, the young quarterback that they chose? And again, I didn't like Justin Fields, but considering what they needed here, year one of a rebuild, versus going to Tyrod Taylor there for what? Like, for what? To get a meaningless win, if that, like, people are making it like it's guaranteed. I watched Tyrod Taylor play. We both said it the next day afterward. You could see that they clearly missed Justin Fields and his potential to be explosive, if not with just his legs alone. So I think that was more about the Denver defense than it was about Justin Fields. He was scared. He didn't want to let go of the football. Fair enough. Tyrod Taylor's not much better. Now, you could say he's a veteran. He's seen a little bit more. Tyrod Taylor's not great throwing the football down the field. So that wouldn't have been a good option either.
And by the way, they have nobody who's open. I mean, we're kind of buried outside of Garrett Wilson. I mean, I don't even know half of these receivers' names. It's really gross. But I think that, you know, yesterday, so like a meaningless win, and what would it really mean? Well, I mean, in terms of the season, not much, but in terms of the change of the culture, see, this is where it gets a little nuanced for a head coach who is trying to flip a script that has been hellish for basically a decade and a half here. If you win yesterday, if you go to Tyrod, and if you do win, Now the tone in practice is a little different, and maybe it bleeds into the Carolina game, and maybe one win becomes two. And not that it's ever going to become 9 or 10, not with this group. There's too many deficiencies, but like you've got to at least get a foundation. And when you keep losing, and you have to, but there was some Connor Hughes had some stuff last night where he was talking about where even going back to training camp, there were guys off the record who thought that Tyrod Taylor was a better fit than Justin Fields.
Okay.
So if they were thinking that back then when they were 0-0 as a record, you know, you have to wonder, like, does the locker room now become fractured, which, again, most of these guys won't be here when it turns around, if it ever turns around with Aaron Glenn, but you've got to try to find the win where you can, and sometimes a win is not even a literal win. It's just energizing a locker room with something different. Like, that stuff matters.
Tyrod Taylor, we saw him play against the Bucs, right?
Yeah.
And how'd that game go?
Listen, yesterday was, and not just because, awful. It didn't go well.
Well, I'm just saying.
I know. Yeah. Awful. They're not
And they
not
got
pretty.
Back in the game, not because of anything Tyrod Taylor did, because of a block kick.
And all the penalties. I mean, Tampa just basically had 9 penalties in the first half that game.
It was
gross.
Yeah.
But yesterday, when you look at the sacks and the negative 10 net yards, which is the worst in Jets history, which is saying something, and the worst in at least 27 years in the NFL, like, I get it. You know, nobody's saying Tyrod Taylor's coming off the bench, you're going to be Dan Marino, but you couldn't be worse than Justin Fields. And when there's such a substandard level of play, I think you owe it to the team to at least investigate that. And for him to not even, I think, consider it is a little alarming.
Okay, one more from Aaron Glenn today, talking about the issues going into, or the way that the Jets handled the offense there going into halftime and the end of the first half.
You know what? As I thought about that, and I think the question was asked about the confusion part, when you look at it, man, it was the ref said first down. And that's when we were about to expect the ball. And someone else said, no, it's not. It's fourth down. And at that point, man, if we tried to run and play, I thought that's where real confusion is going to come from. So at that point, our staff had just talked about this the day before. But, man, let's try to see if we can get three, defer at the beginning of the game, try to get 3 points out of the halftime, then come back the second half and try to get points again. But you know what? To be honest with you, I wish I could have took the clock down to 5 seconds and just threw a Hail Mary, to be honest with you. But at that point, I want no confusion. Let's just get out the half, guys. We're getting the ball back the second half, and let's get ready to go.
You know what that sounds like to me? A head coach who's learning on the job. That's part of the deal when you hire a first-time head coach. It was ugly. It was inexcusable, unacceptable. It can't happen. That's a first-time head coach learning there in that situation.
Yeah, understood. And that's why, like, I'm not saying I'd fire him today, but the fear, that's why, as I push this a little forward, the fear is ultimately, will there be enough, or the question is, will there be enough growth the rest of this year to give him a number one pick that's a quarterback?
Okay.
And I don't really have the answer for you right now.
No, we got to wait and see how it goes. Now, I'm not so sure. And by the way, even if the Jets won that game yesterday, we'd still be having a similar, like, to me, it wouldn't be like, oh, the Jets won. Aaron Glenn's the man.
No, like, no, it definitely wouldn't be that.
Just say that they decided to kick the field goal at the end, a 60-whatever, 3-yard or whatever it would have been.
62.
Okay, and he would have hit it. Like, does that change what happened at the end of the first half? No. Does that change what we've seen the first 5 weeks? No, at least you can say, well, they got to win. Okay, great. 1-5. What's the difference? 1-5, 0-6. You need to see consistent play. At least the penalties were cleaned up yesterday a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are some signs to see, well, maybe there was some progression. Denver is a very good football team. And defensively, the Jets played pretty well yesterday.
They did. And listen, the Jets defensively with Jermaine Johnson are a different team.
100%.
He's a different player. I knew he was good. I didn't really realize he had that much impact on the defense. So there's no doubt they definitely did some things well. The penalties, only had a couple. The defense was much better. Denver's a good foe. I agree with all that stuff. But it's not a meaningless win when you then have a chance to, like, stack one against Carolina.
Right.
That's where, you know, you start to maybe win the room over and the emotion flips and you get a little momentum. You start playing downhill. Now you're still looking for the first one instead of trying to get back to back.
I get it. He needs a win desperately because that will calm the 0-for Jets, the LOL Jets, at least calm them for a day. Okay, well, they can win a football game. Let's not remember, though, what happened week one. I mean, week one, everybody was ready to hear.
It's the best they looked.
Okay.
It's the best they look.
I understand it. It was against a very good Steelers team. Even week one, maybe, you know, teams are still learning. It's an extension of the preseason. But what they did offensively to me was what they need to get back to, running the football. They didn't do that. Yesterday, they played a great defense. That was a tough matchup. Let's see what they do moving forward. If they can clean up the penalties like they did yesterday, if the defense plays like they did yesterday, more often than not moving forward, they will win some football games. I do think Justin Fields will get better, again, to his He's not a great quarterback, but he'll be able to run against some other teams. Denver defense is pretty freaking good. And Aaron Glenn's going to learn from his mistakes here. What does it all mean? Who the hell knows? Does it mean that I would trust him wholeheartedly with the number one pick? No, I don't know if I don't know who the Jets could possibly hire that I would trust right now with the number one pick. Even Gruden we could poke holes in. Even we talked about Pete Carroll, the guy I would have hired. Look at what he's done with the Raiders. Like, that has not been pretty there, picking his guy with Geno Smith, bringing him in there. So it doesn't mean that there's an... Just because Aaron Glenn may look awful right now, it doesn't mean that there's a better option immediately to go select the number one quarterback.
Yeah, and listen, they're not locked into Justin Fields long term. I thought it was a smart move on a mid-20s quarterback that's an amazing athlete that played with Garrett Wilson in college and, you know, had shown some incremental progress. I talked about this. You know, each year, you know, 2-3 points up on the percentage, not a lot of picks, a couple of touchdowns, he could run. But they are not married to him financially, which obviously is a good thing. $20 million this year, 20 next year, 10 of which is guaranteed. So if they want to just hit the parachute cord and get rid of him, which I think that they will, there's obviously a nice means to do that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Everything about this franchise sucks. Everything about it is awful. I even found out, can I give you another one? I'll give you another one. You guys will love this. So the Jets treat their season ticket holders also like garbage. Like, they don't really give you much. They barely give you any towels or any shirts or any little things. I heard that yesterday in London, they couldn't wait to put Jet shirts and towels on the seats. They treat the London Jet fans better than the schmoes that go to MetLife Stadium.
They are trying to attract the international fans.
Just move there already. Just go there.
No, the international fan hasn't spent any of their disposable income on the Jets yet. And so they're trying to incentivize them to spend some money.
Yeah, us idiots in New Jersey, just whatever. We don't need you guys.
They've already tapped you.
They've already took our money.
They tapped you out already. So there's no gain. There's no upside.
Let's go to Eric in Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
As a Tiki, oh man, what a show so far. Great job. And Tiki, I got to say, man, I love listening to you talk inside football because you had exactly the same thought that I had yesterday when I wanted to break my television watching the Jets play football.
Right.
It's unreal. Like, how do you have 57 plays and 82 collective yards? That's like impossible.
It's almost
impossible
because you could go get 3 yards with carry and have more than that.
Right. And to me, you were absolutely spot on with the 12. Like, I'm looking at the screen and I'm like, I don't understand. Why are we running the same formation? And that gets to the coaching. What is so infuriating is that they clearly don't understand their personnel. Like, we're running two tight ends out that can't block.
Right. And,
period.
And if you're trying to fool people, put that in quotes, fool people and put them in routes, they don't get open.
Right.
So it's, they're not explosive tight ends. They're not. You know, I'm trying to think, Travis Kelce's of the world, or whoever. I'm trying to think of a really good, what's the kid's name that just got drafted first overall from
Tyler Warren?
They're not Tyler Warren's out there.
Who they should have drafted, by the way.
Yeah, you're right.
I was right. That's what I wanted.
You should have. That's right. That's who you wanted.
That's who I was screaming for.
But that's not how you're throwing into these routes. It's just these guys just running the route because that's what it says to do on the paper.
Yeah.
And there's no, they're hardly even looking for the ball.
I'm going to tell you one thing that also pissed me off, and maybe you can get me off the ledge, or you can say, no, you should be pissed off, Evan.
Go ahead.
Breece Hall. Breece Hall was targeted as a receiver 0 times in this game. First time in his NFL career.
Oh, I thought you had a problem with my man, Breece Hall.
No. Right, I have a problem with the handling of Breece Hall.
Right. You have a weapon that's unique.
Yes.
And versatile.
Yes.
And you can use him in ways that other teams can't use their tailback. Then do it.
0 targets.
Yeah.
Explain that one to me.
I can't.
Oh, okay.
Not even a screen?
Not even a screen. You can't run a freaking, you can't dial up a screen pass for Breece Hall, Tanner?
Not even a check down?
Not even a check down. I mean, because, look, a lot of this is on Justin Fields because it takes him, like you have to use a sundial for when he finally gets rid of the ball.
Right.
But the play calling was so awful. I mean, for Breece Hall to not be targeted one time is incomprehensible. Let's go to Anthony in Harlem. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, boys?
Hey, man, what's happening?
Yeah. Evan, I'm taking my 7 and 9-year-old to their first NFL football game on Sunday, Jets-Panthers. So please don't report me to Child Protective Services. To make them
I'm going, too. We should meet up and talk about how we should ban our kids from rooting for the Jets. I mean, we should have like a meeting, like an AA meeting of Jet fans on Sunday.
So I want to listen. I'm sure you're in the same boat. I want Aaron Glenn to succeed. I want him to be the guy to turn this around. But yesterday was the first time my red light went off, and I'm going to tell you guys why. At the end of the game, they were in almost an identical situation at the end of the half. They needed a field goal at any cost. And if I'm watching the game from home, and you guys are watching the game from home, and you know that defense is they got their backs against the wall. If they give up 7 to 10 yards, they lose the game. What do you think Vance Joseph is going to do to you in that situation?
Blitz, dog.
He's going to blitz.
He's going to send two extra.
And the fact that Garrett Wilson is not in the slot away from Patrick Surtain. I mean, my high school team, I could say to the quarterback, your best player's in the slot and 5 wide. If the linebacker comes up, you throw the slant. If he doesn't, you run a QB ISO. We need 6 yards to win the game and give our kicker, the best player on our team, a chance to win the game. And they didn't do that. And that really concerns me because what I need to see from him in his first season is growth as a coach and a manager of an organization.
Right.
And I didn't see that yesterday.
Right. And what you're talking about, just from scheming, make it easy for your quarterback. Don't make him have to think and find, let me go through this route. Because Justin Fields actually was trying to go through his progression. He was trying to go through it. The problem is it was taking too long, and so it was hard. And so as a result, he's standing back there way too long. Pressure gets to him, sack 9 times. I mean, how do you make that easier? Look at one guy. Look at number one. Maybe glance at two. If not, run. It's simple. Keep it simple. Find success. This isn't about being perfect as a quarterback. Find success. And that's the one thing that's my biggest issue with Tanner Engstrand right now, is they're not allowing him to find success. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Right? It doesn't have to be, oh, wow, you're in this conversation with Jackson Dart now as one of the good young quarterbacks or whoever. Find success.
Amazing what we thought after week one. Because even in a loss, it was, well, this offense looks good.
I felt like I didn't have to worry about him finding success.
Right.
He did it.
Yeah.
He had success.
Yes.
Throwing the football. He had success running the football. He looked okay.
Yeah.
I remember saying, Evan, all you got to do is worry about is you guys lost. That's all.
Right.
You're going to win plenty.
And what I was reminded about, and it's turned out to be true, is just because you play well one week doesn't necessarily translate to the next week.
We haven't seen that since.
No, we haven't. Not anywhere close. Now, let's get to this last play because I admit this isn't egregious. This is not fireable. This is debatable. This is a fair debate. After Garrett Wilson falls down, or whatever the hell happened on 3rd and 8, it is 4th and 8. From the 44-yard line, and you have a choice if you're Aaron Glenn. Choice number one is what he did, which is run a play, try to get a first down. Try to extend it. Try to, you know, move the yard marker, if you will, and get a first down, set Nick Folk up for a potential game-winning field goal. The other option on 4th and 8 is to kick right then and there. It's a 62-yard field goal. That is a very long field goal. Mm-hmm. That is longer than any kick Nick Folk has ever made, but Nick is having a great year, and we saw him make what, a 56-yarder?
Yeah.
So we've seen that he's got the leg. So as I'm thinking about this as a fan, my gut feeling was there's no way this pathetic, putrid offense is converting on 4th and 8. I give him a 5% shot, right?
Yeah.
I give Nick Folk making a 62-yard field goal a 35% shot. Not better than 50-50. I get it. You're asking a lot. But to me, it was very easy in that there's a better chance of Nick Folk making a career-long field goal, not that many yards off of what he's already made this season, versus the idea that this LD offense, which was pathetic all day long, was somehow going to convert on 4th and 8. And for bonus points, I would have said, it's going to end on a sack. No question in my mind. So, do you agree
100%.
That Glenn should have just kicked the field goal?
100%. Because, look, we know where kickers are these days. I'm not saying that Nick Folk is there right now. Where, that is, you can kick a 65 is just kind of average for some of these players now. When they're stressing themselves, it's like, hey, maybe you can get to 70. And so
we saw one yesterday. Evan McPherson made a field goal that got waved off because a timeout was called. I think it was like a 68-yarder.
Yeah.
How long was that field goal, Sean? Did you know?
It was 67.
67?
It was going to be an NFL record.
Either way. So, like, you know that that's there. But what else do you have to lose? And I get going forward on fourth down, but not the way that they went forward on fourth down because it was very predictable. And as soon as it happened, text chat, predictable.
Predictable! When also, like, there was no chance of that working. Nick Folk is 12 for 12 kicking field goals this year. He's 5 for 5 on field goals above 50 yards. You just have a better chance. You just have a better shot. Like, you just have a better possibility in this remote world that Nick Folk hits a field goal, your defense, which has been good all day, makes a last-second stand, and you win the game. And I have to be honest, I want to win badly. Like, as a football fan, it's in my blood. It's why tanking just is like a foreign language to me. I want to win. I want to leave a Sunday or a Monday or a Thursday actually feeling good. I don't know what I would have felt like if they won that game. Because all of the disgust we're expressing today would have still existed. It's not like I would have come on and been like, we won, yay, we won. Like, I would have been like, hey, thank God they won. But geez, man, the end of the first half was embarrassing. Justin Fields embarrassing. I would have pulled Justin. Like, I think we would have had the same conversations. But it would have been this, like, really disgusting win.
Yeah.
One of those wins where you're, like, happy you got it, but geez. But I think he screwed up. I think you think folks should have gone out there for a 62-yarder. And there's a better shot he makes that field goal versus Justin Fields in this awful offense converts on a 4th-and-8.
Yeah. Well, what really should have happened when you have 1st-and-10 from the 43 is you got to get more than 1 yard.
Oh, you think?
Just saying.
No, you are right.
I'm just saying. I mean, you would have been better off just handing it to Breece Hall three times.
100%. 100%.
Seriously.
Because you knew the risk of having Justin Fields drop back is, A, the protections aren't great, and B, he holds the ball forever, that he's going to take a loss.
You would have been better off just handing it off.
You're right. You're right. Absolutely right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.